Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Power Your Life radio show. And I'm Dr. Joanne White, and I'm excited today because I have two incredibly powerful women who are really going to help a lot with parents helping kids, helping teens move forward in their lives, in creativity, in getting back to school. And what better way to begin this whole back-to-school event that takes place? Summer's still sort of coming to an end, and it's so important for children to really have parents who have savvy and know-how about what they need in terms of wellness, in terms of creativity, and just in terms of getting back to school and getting ahead with full steam. So my first incredible guest is Debbie Mancini Wilson, and she's a family creativity expert for NBC and CBS morning shows. She's a speaker, a radio personality, and a coach, and the best-selling author of Color My World. I love that book title. We're going to find out more about that book today. And this book nurtures creativity, builds self-esteem and tolerance, and fosters independence for children. And Debbie really does a lot with parents and children to help parents nurture kids' imagination and self-expression, which today is so very, very important. And I love the aspect of building self-esteem because all of us, every single one of us, can use large doses of empowerment and self-esteem and also tolerance. So that's very, very important. So, Debbie, I know you're there, and welcome to the Power Your Life radio show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thanks. But thank you so much for having me because it's such a joy when I find someone or someone finds me and that someone also has a thirst for empowering and doing it in fun ways and creative ways. So thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
It's my pleasure. And let's go right into, we'll delve right into creativity and empowerment because I think that's key to what children are about and to what parents really need to do for kids in terms of helping them learn to be independent. But they have to first learn about themselves and feel good about themselves. So how do we do that? I know you talk about it in your book, and we'll talk right about that, your book some more, but how do you guide parents to teach children or to guide children to be more creative?
Well, first and foremost, I have to right up front say that creativity is innate in all of us. We are all born creative. We are created. So when I hear someone, and usually it's parents, say, oh, I can't do that because I'm not creative, that's my most fun moment because I get to first show mom or dad how they really are creative. We were all born creative, but yet we spend so much time in our adult lives as we grow, as we mold, as we become who we are and evolve into the business person that we are and the mommy or daddy that we are. We lose touch with our creative selves because we're busy conforming, we're busy doing for everyone and everything else, and we simply lose it. And there is a study out there that literally pinpoints. What they do is they follow a group of students, and when they ask these children when they're in preschool, how many of you are creative? 100% of them raise their hands. Fast forward to third grade. You might have 50% of them. Fast forward to fifth grade, and less and less and less until they get into their teenage years, and you might have one or two kids in that group that raise their hand. That's pretty sad. But it does
not
show
only
that
is
we
it,
simply...
Not only is that sad, that's astounding, too, right?
It is. It is. So when you get to full adulthood, there are so many people that don't believe that they have a creative bone in their bodies. So my joy is showing you that, yes, you do have that creative bone in your body, and I bring it back out in parents. But more importantly, I give them the tools to bring it out in their children, not just to bring it out, but just to reinforce it, because it is still there in most kids. Now, the ways that I do that in particular, and you had talked briefly about Color My World, but the birth of that book was when my sons were in third, fourth, fifth grade, and I recognized that school was kind of sitting on them in a creative way. It was all about test scores. So I just started working with them at home with these little projects, and now in what I do for a living, I'm passing it along to parents. So today we wanted to share some of those fun, creative tips on how to get kids' brains out of summer mode and back into the school year mode. So I'll give you the answer and an example, if I can, if that's good.
Sure, that's great.
Okay. First and foremost, in all of my exercises, I the key here is to make it fun, because remember, we're dealing with children, and we've got to keep them engaged. And if it's not fun for them, they're going to roll their eyes, suck their teeth, and not pay any attention to you. So you've
right.
got to make it fun. So I've got three age groups here that I'm going to talk about today with you. And the first one is we're going to start with the youngest kids. And this is truly the beauty of this exercise is the kids aren't going to realize what you're doing. They're just thinking that mom or dad is or grandma or grandpa is having fun with them. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to wake the brain up. And you want to engage the brain and get it back into a thinking mode. And in order to do that, with young kids, what I like to do with my sons when they were young is I'd take them to the ice cream stand or to their favorite restaurant. And the rule, there was one rule and one rule only, and that was that we had to eat with our non-dominant hand. So if you're right-handed, you had to eat with your left hand and vice versa. Now, the people at the tables around you are going to think you're a little loony, but if they're parents with kids and you kind of tell them what you're doing, they're going to think you are just a genius, because what this does is it literally, it's an exercise that engages both sides of the brain, because you've got your, you know, right-brainers, left-brainers, and I'm a total right-brainer. I mean, I as a businesswoman, I do use my left brain, but it's like going to the dentist. Ugh, do I have to? I'd really rather just write and play and have fun, because that's really what I do best. So I'm a right-brainer all the way, but it does actually engage the right brain and left brain at the same time when you do something so simple as just get through a meal using your non-dominant hand. That's a fun way to wake up the kid's brain.
You know, Debbie, it's not just for kids. I mean, that exercise that you're talking about is also a great exercise for anybody at any age to really get the two hemispheres, the left and the right brain, kind of communicating and waking it up. So I think that's a fantastic idea. So parents should be experimenting with that as well for themselves.
You're absolutely right. And what's fun for me is, you know, as I travel the country and I do these workshops for children or parents and children, if it's just the kids and the parents are in the back of the room, or if we're doing a joint mommy and me workshop or daddy and me workshop, the parents would come up to me inevitably at the end of it and go, oh, my goodness, that was so awesome. Can you come to my office and do something similar for my employees? Because just as you just said, Joanne, adults need to do this too.
And you know, Debbie, it's so true what you said earlier, and that is that as adults come to you, whether they come to you for what you do or to me for what I do in terms of coaching, their idea of being creativity seems to be burned away. And maybe it's because of people, maybe it's because of family, maybe it's because of educators, maybe it's because of people who all along have said, you're not creative. And I always like to reinforce that you don't have to be a Van Gogh or a Picasso to be creative. And so I'm so glad you're telling that to people, because they need to hear this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Once you're just open to the fact that you were born creative, I mean, think about the fact that you had to learn to eat, you had to learn to walk, you had to learn to speak. You have to have a creative makeup in order to learn how to do those things. You just do. And so we are very creative by nature. We simply lose it. So, again, I started with the young kids and gave the most fun exercise, which is going to the ice cream stand or favorite restaurant and eating with a non-dominant hand. Now we'll move to the tweens, those that aren't quite teenagers, but you know the ones. They're big girls. They're big boys. They don't need to do the things that little kids do. I got to tell you, the tweeners absolutely love that first exercise as well. So if you do it with your tweens, you're in good shape. But you might need something a little bit more challenging. And, of course, this is all dependent on your child's personality because some kids are going to be sillier longer. I'm still silly. I'm 53 years old. I'm eternally stuck in fourth grade, and I'm not going to move. I'm telling you, I love it there.
Well, I think it's great that you have that childlike spirit because I think that's what keeps you so alive and vivacious, and I think we all need that somehow, so that's great. Okay, let's do more with tweens because I also see people are calling in, and they may have questions for you that we'd like to get to.
Okay, good. Well, let me quickly synopsize the tween exercise. One would be just simply to play fun word games with them. I always like to do this in the car because it was downtime anyways. So play fun word games with them. What does your first name begin with? Every word in every sentence that you begin from that point on has to start with a word that begins with that. So my name's Debbie. So dare I ask you to play this game? Do you want to try? Well, don't knock
sure.
it until you try. You know, so that's what you want to do. That it's a fun way to get that brain thinking along those lines. Acronyms. I'm really big on acronyms. Have the kid write their name down and then just write a poem or use their name as the beginning of every sentence. Those are fun ways to wake up that brain. And again, it's fun, so it's going to keep them engaged. I move to teenagers and young adults. All right, the audience is a little harder here. So what you're going to do?
Yeah, that's the most difficult. That's really. I'm thinking about that. That's probably the most difficult audience because they think they know it all. And what do you have to teach them?
Well, you know, the fun thing for me is I give parents ways to sneak in that back door without preaching or teaching, because that again is when the teeth. They suck the teeth and roll the eyes, put the hand up, and don't want to hear what you have to say. If they don't think you're preaching or teaching, they're a lot more likely to listen. So the first thing you've got to do is just the more often you do these things, the more often they're going to accept it because it now is becoming casual and commonplace. So it's not going to be like, Mom, set up an appointment to play this game with me. No, we're in a car, and Mom, you're driving past a billboard, and Mom says, quick. There's a billboard for a bank, and there's Mom, Dad, and two kids getting into a minivan. What does Mom do for a living? What does Dad do? Where are they taking the kids? Where are they coming from? Build a story around it. That's fun stuff. You know, it's
and,
just
you know,
no-brainer.
But that's so important because not only it also stimulates language, it stimulates creativity, it gets the brain going. And it helps children really think and look at situations and even do maybe problem solving or a conflict resolution if you're seeing something. So that's ingenious, Debbie.
Yeah, thank you. And I did that with my kids, even just laying on the couch, picked up a magazine off the end table and said, there's an ad. Who are these people? You know, and it's fun. And if you remember the old game, this was the biggest one. If you remember the old TV show, Drew Carey, whose line is it? Where they had four of them and they all had to improv. I used to play that with my kids all the time. You know, we would we're going to do the ABCs. Start telling a story and you start with a letter A and then the next person beside them has to pick up the story and start with a letter B. You know,
What's my line? Oh, okay.
Well, I think it was whose line is it? Yeah. But
okay.
I used to use their little improv skits. And we would do them at the dinner table. It was a very fun way to get them talking about their day. What'd you do today? Oh, nothing. Okay, that's not right. You didn't do just nothing. How about you tell me what you did today, but, you know, do it with the fact that everybody in the room had on a banana in their hand or whatever, stupid things. So then that would, it engages them because they wanted to be silly about it, you know. Teenagers, again, might not want to be silly. You might have to get a little more serious. And for those, I say bring the story to whatever it is that is their interest. If they're into music, if they're into baseball, if they're into whatever, build it around that. Is there a baseball game that just happened recently? What is their team doing, and how does it compare to last year? How many RBIs do they have? Who's the lead, you know, home run hitter, and how do their stats compare to last year? It's just going to make them talk, first of all, and it's going to get them thinking. And it's building that communication on a casual level, which is the key to anything, getting them to open up and express themselves. And it's doing it in an authentic way because you're using what makes their heart sing. So this is all about authenticity, self-expression, and communication. You're not going to have a better relationship.
And, you know, when you're talking about that communication, what I'm thinking is it's not just about they're putting forth their own story or whatever, but they really have to listen. And if you have more than one kid, they really have to pay attention to one another. So you're building mm-hmm. that whole aspect of communication, which I think is so very, very important.
Exactly. Now, and you're also honoring what they have to say because you're asking them. And so often
right.
we don't do that. We talk out our kids. You know, pick that up. Do the dishes. You know, whatever. But to actually ask
yeah,
them.
Yeah, why should I do that? Why should I do that? Because I told you so. Like, hello.
Exactly. But now you're actually honoring something important and special to them. That what you're doing is building a trust because, wow, now you want to hear what they have to say. They're going to want to hear what you have to say about it. It's two-way. It goes both ways.
It's so very important. I wanted to shift a little bit because I want to talk a little bit about your book and a little bit about tolerance, because today there's so much regarding children being intolerant with other children, and bullying is getting a lot of attention, and I'm going to be doing a lot with bullying in Washington, D.C. to launch a campaign, an anti-bullying campaign. So I think that building that into Color My World is key, and would you talk a little bit about that? I think that's so important.
Absolutely. Color My World is it's an interactive book that's designed to get kids to open up and express themselves. And it's most of it is just poems that I've written, and I've left a lot of them unfinished. And what I do is I say to them, okay, well, how would you finish this? Or if it's a pretty deep subject, I finish the poem and then I leave a space for them and say, how does that make you feel? Did this ever happen to you or someone that you know? How would you handle this? What would you do? Now, when I get called to talk to a group of kids about bullying, I go in the back door because, again, you don't slam it in their face. If you push it down their throat, they're going to spit it back out. So I go in the back door. It's not preachy or teachy, but I stimulate conversation about it. Oftentimes, what I do, and I tell parents to do this, here is something that is going to be worth every moment that any listener spent listening to this segment of your show. This is going to be worth its weight in gold. My suggestion to parents when I'm counseling them one-on-one, whatever the subject is that you're trying to broach with your child, find a book or a movie that addresses that at their age level. And either read the book together or watch the movie together, but pause the movie. You're going to have to watch it in advance yourself so that you know where you're going to have to pause. Pause it and say to them, wow, that's really cool. What would you do? Or what would you say to the main character if you walked in on this scene right now? That's really, you know, they're going to want to tell you what they're going to do.
In your book, how do you teach about tolerance?
Well, again, it's the underlying message. It's the lessons there are, you know, I have a book called Different. People say my friend is different because of this. People say my sister is different because of that. People say, at the very end of the poem, it says, different means not being the same. Well, I guess different should be my name. I'm different because. And then I ask them to list out the things that they feel are different about themselves. And I get them to embrace the fact that, yeah, you're different, and so is, if you look to your left and to your right and ahead and behind you, so are they. So it helps them accept that difference on a fun, playful level.
And, you know, as you're talking, Debbie, I'm thinking, wow, what a great, and I don't, you probably do this, but what a great way to go into classrooms and into schools and help teachers who are not already doing this really promote those, that tolerance, and to look around and to see there's somebody there who's different. I'm different. We're all different. But difference is not, isn't something that you don't tolerate. Difference is about acceptance. So do you go into school?
Oh, I do. And, you know, a lot of teachers use my book as a workbook because it is interactive. So they use it as a workbook. They get the kids to get a piece of paper because they're not all going to write in the book. But, yes, teachers use it. When I did my book tour, I had teachers come up to me at Educator Day at the different bookstores and say, you know, I've been using this in my classroom. I wanted to come and get your autograph on it. I had already had it and bought it, but would you sign it, you know? And they're using it in their classrooms as a workbook. But when I do those classes, you know, I will pull without names, you know, or I'll have the kids say, you know, who wants to raise their hand and say what one thing that makes them feel different than everybody else. I'll have one kid say, well, my hair is just way curlier than everybody else's, and I'll have another kid say, well, my hair is so straight. And I will say to them, okay, can we look at that? You know, or I'll take the tall kid and the short kid, or the, you know, the kid that thinks they are too thin and the kid that thinks that they're not thin or, you know, not thin enough. And I'll say, and do you see how the, and then that leads to the next poem in the book, which is Greener Grass. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, I guess that's where I choose to reside. My grass is green. My sky is blue. I'm happy from within. How about you? So, you know,
I love it.
Thanks. Thank you.
So this is marvelous, and I think this is so important for parents and for educators and for people who are involved with youth organizations and youth groups. How do people get a hold of you, Debbie Mancini Wilson, and get a hold of this incredible book and find out more about what you're doing, and also tell us what's next for you?
Absolutely. Well, my website, colormyworld.info, is actually interactive just like the book. There are poems in it that kids can log on and print out the pages and just have a ball finishing the poems and drawing pictures to match. They can also correspond with Stosh, who is the main character in my book, which, by the way, because I'm such a creative genius, my sons are Stefan and Josh, so there was born Stosh.
And they love it, right?
They're older now. They're 22 and 17, but they still smile and you know, while they're rolling their eyes, they're smiling at me. But the kids that log on to the website can actually correspond with Stosh. You know, we do answer all of our emails, maybe not that day or that week because of our schedules, but we do answer them. Always email harmonypublications, with an S at the end of it, at hotmail.com is a perfect way to get a hold of me.
So is there another book? Oh, go ahead.
Well, yes, there is. There is another book, and actually it's for the younger crowd because Color My World is pretty much 7 to 12-year-old range, you know, the tweeners, as I spoke of. But I just finished recording Color My World with Letters and Words, and it's a CD that teaches kids the ABCs and the logistics of reading a word. It breaks it down in a real fun and funky kind of way, and that'll be coming out real soon. My oldest son, who is a musician, he and one of his bandmates did the music behind it, so I'm doing the happy mommy dance on that one.
Going to be out before Christmas, before the new year? Any idea? Great, because that could be a great present for parents to give to kids and give to friends, and right?
It'll be a good stocking stuffer. Then next year I'm launching the Color My World for Teenagers, which will be a journal, but it's a journal that gives them one little exercise to do, and there'll be 52 exercises because, you know, kids, it's tough to get, or teenagers, it's tough to get them to do anything every day. I mean, it's tough enough to get a teenager to brush their teeth every day, so I figured every week would be good, so I'll have a weekly exercise that they can do. and I want them to journal their feelings about how it made them feel. What did this bring to your world or someone else's that you feel was either life-changing or just eye-opening or just fun or exciting?
And I think that's great because I think journaling, again, is another form of getting kids involved in self-expression and also taking a look at their own feelings and maybe writing about those feelings to get them out as a form of sort of a healthy way of getting out those feelings. So that's brilliant. You are a busy lady, Debbie Mancini Wilson, and a great guest. So tell, give in like one sentence or a little, like 1 minute or so, which is about what we have, give parents one more fantastic idea that's in your book or in your philosophy that's so important.
Well, I think the key for me is, and I know I said this before, but really and truly casual conversation about anything. If you can make that breakthrough, which is so easy to do, by simply asking your child's opinion on something. You know, in the school newspaper, the school, you know, the weekly letters that come out, so-and-so did this. One quick, simple, easy question to your kid was, wow, you know, what do you think about that? And if they shrug their shoulders and say, oh, that didn't really matter to me, well, why didn't it matter? Keep asking them. You be that four-year-old that says, why? You'll get them to open up and talk eventually. Once you do that, everything else is a breeze. Everyone's reaching for this. They're chasing this brass ring called quality time. It doesn't exist. Time. That's it. Just spend time with them, talk to them, open the lines of communication. The quality comes, trust me on that. It just does.
You know, that's so very important because I was out the other day and I saw an adult with a kid that couldn't have been more than 5 or 6. He walked out of a building, and the minute he walked out of a building, which, as you're saying, is a beginning for any kind of conversation, he turned on his phone and was texting somebody or making a call. And I thought, angrily, I didn't say anything, but I thought, your child is right there. And so just what you're saying is so key. And why are we not paying attention to that message? Because, like you said, he was missing this golden opportunity to relate, to get a kid stimulated and creative, like you said, and to use any moment, like you're talking about, which I think is essential, any moment to get that communication going. So, Debbie, your messages are so very, they're profound and yet simple, and I don't mean to, that's not demeaning in any way, because I think that it needs to get to people how easy this can be to parents to do this, and you're a master at it. So thank you so very, very much.
My pleasure, Joanne. Thanks again for having me. It was an absolute joy.
Well, you are an absolute joy, and keep doing what you're doing because it helps so many parents and so many children, and it's so important to spread the word about joy, creativity, fun, and self-esteem, and you do it with all of that. So thanks again. Have a blessed day, and thanks for joining Power Your Life.
You bet.
And, folks, in a few moments, we have another guest who is somebody that's going to be very important and to you in terms of, firstly, her background and her shift from moving into one area. But before we get there, I wanted to tell you folks something, and it was just something that Debbie was talking about because, as she was talking about, my brain is going, and I remember years ago that there are exercises like Debbie's talking about, really using that left and right brain. And I think that no matter, and we said this before on the show, no matter what age you are, and particularly if you're a child but also an adult and you're thinking as an adult, you're thinking about how do I make sure that I keep my brain active and stimulate my brain? Well, certainly that exercise that Debbie presented is a great idea, and there are more. So make sure that you're playing, make sure that you're engaged and involved, because it's very, very important, very, very important. My next guest Dr. Donna L. Hamilton, is a wellness speaker and innovative chief wellness officer. She is a former board-certified pediatrician who now uses her expertise in health to teach wellness to adults, because what she found was that what people needed was exactly that, preventive wellness, preventive, to prevent people from actually going there. So she shifted her whole orientation. Her company, Manifest Excellence, combines over 20 years' experience in traditional health with both a holistic and a comprehensive wellness philosophy. And she's going to talk to us today about how to get healthy, how to maintain that feeling and that being of wellness. And really, as parents, those folks who are listening today, there's an adage that when you're on the airplane, if something happens, before you actually attend to your child, you need to tend to yourself. And I think that's exactly what Dr. Donna Hamilton is talking about, because you really have to make sure that you're okay to be able to do what you need to do for the children and the other people that you're serving. Dr. Donna, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk about that shift, because people love stories. And what is that shift? Because there you were a pediatrician, you went to school. I know about the whole process in terms of study and school, and that was long. And something changed. Something turned your whole world around a little bit to do what you're doing now, thankfully. So what was it?
Well, you know, it was a gradual shift. There were a few key things that happened personally that I think really got me to the point of saying, okay, am I really doing what makes me happy? But professionally, what was going on was I was starting to realize I wasn't quite being able to do what I set out to do. So I went to med school, like many different physicians. I went in because I wanted to help people be healthy. And since I was in pediatrics, in community pediatrics specifically, I did get a chance to do a lot more wellness care than, say, other specialties. But a significant percentage, if not the majority, of what I did, it was dealing with illnesses and injuries. And a significant part of that were actually preventable injuries and illnesses. And so there was a little part of me that was saying, this wasn't quite what I had in mind. And over time, what I found inside the office, but also outside of the office in the community when I did talks, I found that a lot of adults didn't understand what it meant to be healthy. You know, at best, they might ask a question that was about how not to be sick. And I just kept saying, this just wasn't what I had in mind. At first, it was just a little bit of a sense, you know, that sense you have when you say, something's off, and then it kind of grew. And I think for me, a big, big catalyst personally was when a very close friend of mine died very unexpectedly with complications from her pregnancy. And that really was a light bulb for me to just say, I kind of intellectually knew before then life is short. But there was something about that really had me focus on what is it that I want to do. And that's when I said, I really want to focus on helping people be well and not just not being sick or recovering from injuries and illness faster. And then it just became a journey. And eventually I realized that what I did for my passion was, which was giving talks and going out into the community, and I used to do that after hours. By day I was in the office, and after hours I would, maybe at a parenting group, a PTA group, a scout group, giving a talk about something. And then it dawned on me one day, I can do this full time. This is what I love, and this is what nourishes me, and it also is what really helps support people in being healthier.
Well,
and
that's
eventually
so important.
My company was born, Manifest Excellence.
Great. I think that's so important, because parents need, not just parents, we all need to be educated on keeping ourselves well, and preventive medicine is very important today. It probably should have been more important earlier, and maybe it was in other times. But I'm so glad that you're doing that. And you actually talk about five very pivotal or key areas that have the biggest impact or the biggest effect on health. Would you care to share that with our listening audience?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell people before I list the five areas, there's no magic to this five. In general, when we talk about wellness, when you hear wellness professionals use that word, because now it's a bit of a buzzword and everyone's talking about wellness, but in general, when you hear wellness professionals discuss wellness, what we mean is being your best in every aspect of your life. So some people might define that as mind, body, spirit. Some people divide it up into six categories. And for people who are life coaches, they like to use the wheel of life, which is 12. So I don't want people to become overwhelmed with the numbers. I'm not saying this is the formula. I just found that it's easiest for people to remember it when I define it in these five ways. But the take-home point is to really begin to look at everything that impacts your health and not simply just focus on your body or even just focus on what you eat and exercise. So I like to define the five areas as physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual. And what that means, the physical arena, I call them the arenas. So the physical arena is what most people think about when they think about being healthy. And that is, it's your body, and it's what you eat, what you put in your body, but it's also what you put on your body because your skin is your largest organ. It's also other tangible things in your environment. So it could be it's your house, meaning the products that you use to clean your house, so like the environmental things, because many times people might, you know, eat well but not think about that they may be using toxic things like to clean their home. That's
the
physical arena. So think about things
even
that you can kind of touch and put in or on your body.
Even the products.
The mental arena.
Even the products that they use to clean their clothes can be toxic.
Oh, yes.
So, and a lot of people have allergies to that, so I think that's very important.
Yeah, it's very, and on a real basic level, even if it's not toxic, because I don't like to scare people. Sometimes you hear people, everyone's talking about everything's a toxin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying on a very basic level, think about how these things impact you. I mean, when I was practicing pediatrics, I saw a lot of parents bringing in their children because for rashes, you know, for various and sundry rashes, and some of them were from allergy and internal things, but a lot of times they were from external things, and quite frequently one of the first questions was, did you do anything new? Are you using a new laundry detergent? Have you changed your soap? So these things actually, they can impact your overall health and well-being. Now, the mental arena, that's the arena of your thought life, and that's very important for adults and for children. So it's kind of that inner chatter that we have, and, you know, whether you are kind of have an inner champion, so you tend to, you know, be more positive in your thoughts, or you have a more of an inner critic, and you tend to be negative about yourself or others. And that's very, very important because there's a growing body of literature and evidence that helps us better understand the effects our thoughts actually have on our body, which is could be a whole other discussion. But it's very, very important. Your emotional arena or the area of feelings, that a lot of people don't spend a lot of time there. And I actually have found that a lot of people even blend the mental arena with the emotional arena. And a clue to that is if I ever hear people saying, I feel that, and they end a sentence with something that's not an emotion. So emotions, you know, happy, sad, angry, afraid. And so someone might say, I feel that you should have listened to me. You hear that a lot. And,
right.
And a more accurate expression of your feelings or a more accurate statement would be, I feel angry you didn't listen to me. Or I think it would have been respectful had you listened to me. And
so
it's not a matter
not
of...
Doing, what people are not doing is really getting... let me just kind of see what you're saying. What people are not doing is really identifying the true feeling that's behind what they're responding to in some way. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's so important to be in tune for with your feelings, especially for parents, because we're modeling for our children. And when they're very young, and children have all these feelings, but they don't necessarily have the words to describe those feelings. And so it's very important for every person to be able to communicate what they're feeling, but particularly for parents, because they have to not only be able to put their words, their feelings into words, but learn to help their children do it too. And it's also important to have clear communication. So that's another reason why it's important if you're saying, you know, I feel, to have an emotion, but if you want to tell someone what you're thinking, it's important to tell them that too, so that you can actually have clear communication. Because poor communication is a big, big source of stress, which has significant health problems.
Now, and it also, when we're talking about parents and kids, poor communication can actually lead to alienation, and so that's very important that we stress that today too, because I think that there has to be an ongoing dialogue between kids and parents, no matter what age, so that kids can really, like you're talking about emotions and feelings, kids can really get comfortable with articulating what they need and being able to go on and be independent and express that to others.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want to help our children grow into being healthy adults, and that starts very early on. Yeah, so absolutely. Then another big part of that, what you're saying, helping our children grow and become independent, is what I call the social arena. And that is a big part of all health, and many people often overlook it. And that is the area that contains what I call all the kind of spice of life. So it's your relationships. For adults, it's your work. For kids, it's school. Maybe money, it's your habits and your hobbies. It's all those other things that can really help enhance your life or make your life much more complicated or less fulfilling. And these are very, very important things to pay attention to. Like you were talking about bullying, that's a social, as I would define, that's a social arena thing. So you can have a child who maybe you checked all the boxes and said, oh, their height is good, their weight is good, their grades are good, you know, they kind of fit all the kind of more common things we think about when we think about healthy children. But if they're being bullied and they are, you know, that they're not healthy, they're not living their best, and by healthy I mean really functioning at your best. Like I said, that's true wellness, really being healthy. So we have to pay attention to all these things, because that social arena really can have significant impact on quality of life. And depending on what's going on, can actually then start to play itself out in physical issues too.
And you and I have spoken. Go ahead. You and I have spoken so much about social wellness, and so that social arena is key. Finish the last point, because I really want to get back to two areas, the in terms of the mental and the emotional, just because I think that's, they're also important. They really are all very important. But
they are. You can't pick a favorite, right? But I agree.
Right.
And the last arena is the spiritual arena, and that's not necessarily religion, but religion does fall into that arena. And the spiritual arena is really about whatever helps you make sense of life and what helps you cope, especially during times of challenge. That's kind of a very simple way of describing spiritual wellness. And so especially for adults, and as we get older, people may spend a little more time there but without realizing it. But that's the area where people start to say, does my life have any meaning? What's my purpose? And like I said, particularly during times of challenge, having a belief system that, or being able to make sense of things, can really make a big difference in your ability to cope, and then it plays out in your emotional health, and which goes back into your physical health. So everything is connected.
And you know that spiritual can be the foundation, and spiritual. I'm so glad you said that it's not necessarily about religion or whatever, because spiritual could be spending time in nature, or being nurtured in a social arena where you're really taking care of one another and empowering each other or loving each other, which really brings that heart-centeredness up that's so very important. And I love these areas. I speak about them too, so they're very familiar to me, and they're familiar because, like you said, they are key. They are the aspects that make us up in a way and that we really need to pay attention to. I just want to go back a little bit because as a coach, and both of us are coaches, I experience with people of all ages, people coming in not really with that whole negative self-talk, that mental chatter that you were talking about, and also the emotional not really feeling good about themselves. I think they sort of go together. And when in your own practice, okay, I have certain techniques, but in your own practice, what do you do? I know you do a lot with speaking, but what do you do to, what do you tell people to really stop that chatter? Because I find that people say, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to, you know, yeah, they're my thoughts, but how do you stop them? And I love when people do that because I love the challenge.
Yes, yeah, I agree. It can be challenging to do it. The first step, and I encourage people, you have to make a choice. And that sounds simple, but you know, some people can be very attached to their way of being for lots of different reasons. So the first thing I have to get people to do, well, do you really want to make a shift? And so that, for some people, they may have to spend some time there and really looking at, you know, and deciding that their life is going to be better and it's worth the effort. But assuming people are already there and they really, really want to make a shift, there are lots of different techniques. I like to keep things very simple and practical. So one is just to become aware when you're having a negative or a self-defeating thought, and then to stop and consciously shift that to something positive. So something simple might be someone might spend a lot of time saying, oh, I don't want to be fat. And just that phrasing is about what you don't want. So it is literally, it's a negative thought. I mean, there's not in there. So I tell, well, what do you want? It's like, oh, well, I want to be thin, or I want to be healthy. And so that's a good place for people to start. Be aware of what you're thinking, and then shift your thoughts to what you want instead of what you don't want.
So, and actually, I totally agree, because it's about that sense of awareness.
Right.
And do you offer people affirmations or help them work with affirmations? What do you think about affirmations?
Yeah, I'm really big on affirmations. So depending on the talk, because now I don't do any one-on-one work. All my work is with groups and from the podium, so to speak. And I find that it's been interesting. I find that sometimes that is less threatening, and I find people more open if they can come to a larger group setting and pick and choose what they need for that moment in their life. But I am big on affirmations. So I have a lot of different books. So if people need some support in getting started, I can offer them some thoughts. But a lot of times it's as simple as deciding what you want. That's where I have people start with the baby steps. Become aware of what you want and affirm that in present tense. So, you know, instead of I don't want to be fat, you know, what they really want is to be healthy. So just a simple affirmation is I am healthy. And that's a nice technique. One of the first techniques I learned about creating affirmations was to go through, and oftentimes you have to write down all that negative self-talk, all the things you're worried about on one side of the paper, and then on the other side of the paper, write what you do want. And then put it in present tense. So I am fill in the blank is usually the easiest way to do it. And then
you know, Donna,
there you go. You have an affirmation. And so if you catch yourself with the negative self-talk, then you already have something that you, like almost you're programming yourself to say, oops, caught myself. And then you can do the positive thought. And not just about feeling good. There's a lot that of science that shows us what we focus on, where our attention goes, energy flows is what a lot of people like to say who do energy medicine. But on a very basic level, there's a lot of science that shows that optimism actually has positive health results. You're probably familiar with the whole, there's a whole field of positive psychology. So it's not just about feeling good. We know that it can help ward off things like depression. I just read something last week that people who are more optimistic tend to have fewer heart problems. So it's important to feel good, but know that it also everything's connected. So you not only will your emotions feel good, but your body will benefit.
You know, I think that's so important because I'm also involved in energy medicine, and what you're doing today, even the thoughts that you're putting out today or the feelings, can impact what's happening in your life tomorrow. So I think that's very essential. And you're right, they've done so much research about the feeling of happiness and the messages that go with that and how that can really change somebody's physiology and even studies with how that changes molecules. So it's very, very profound. So let's talk a minute about somebody who says to you, okay, where do I begin? Now, we've talked about that in terms of awareness, but somebody who comes to you, and again, or in this group that you're, you know, this presentation that you're giving, and says, okay, guide me, give me the first step, what would you tell them?
Yeah, what I tell people in every talk I do is to survey all your different arenas. Like to sit down and it can be quick. I mean, you can do it with pencil and paper. You can do a quick mental take on it. But to go through all the different areas of your life, so physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and spiritually, and really take an inventory on what's working, what isn't. Because often where people think they, quote-unquote, should, and I don't like to should on people, but people think they should be working on diet and exercise, because if you turn on the TV, that's what everyone is saying, do diet and exercise. And that is very, very important. I want to be clear, essentially important. But that might not be the best place for you to start right now. If you are in an incredibly toxic relationship and your stress level is through the roof, or you are in a, you know, you have no money and you are risking losing your home, maybe right now you trying to get motivation to go to the gym isn't the best place to start. Stress management might be the best place for you to start. Or if you're in a really unhealthy relationship, starting with getting some support and getting the tools and resources to get out of that relationship might be the best place to start. So that's where I tell everyone, you have to really take inventory of everything and see where the biggest push is for you, where it makes sense, and what's going to bring you the greatest results first.
And so you have to be realistic about that, is what I'm hearing, too. Because,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great, you want to lose weight, but like you said, if you're about to lose your home or if the relationship is toxic, like you said, really focus on what's going on, what's in the moment, what's so necessary. Let's shift gears because we only have a few moments, and you do a lot with women, and certainly we have a lot of parents on the line and listening today, and who are usually the most caregivers, and I'm not dissing men at all because men
right.
can also and are also, I know many, incredible caregivers, but women who take care of everything and everyone, what are some messages that you can give them in just a couple of moments regarding taking care of themselves, that whole self-care philosophy that we forget, we preach it, we teach it, but we don't model it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you said model, because for everyone, but particularly people who are raising children, you have to remember children are watching. So what you're doing, you're always modeling for them. So the first thing I always suggest, the best place to start is to give yourself permission to practice self-care. It may sound obvious, may even sound easy, but trust me, for many people, it is not. Like you said, when you're flying on a plane, they tell you every single time you have to put on your mask first, because you can't. You will be of no good to anyone. And I'm not saying your only motivation should be to take care of others, but realistically, that is where many people are starting. So if that is your motivation, then you have to know that in order to do that effectively, to take care of your children, to take care of your family members, to take care of your job, you have to be healthy. You can't give from an empty cup. So give yourself permission and know that it is valuable. And even if you're just at the point, you're saying, you know what, I just want to take care of me, know that that's okay. I mean, that's a health choice. It's not just okay. It's valuable. It's appropriate. You deserve to take care of yourself. You know, it's okay to put yourself at the top of your list. It doesn't mean that you're selfish or any of the other negative programming that may have come into your life consciously or unconsciously. It is a very valuable and valid health choice, just as healthy as, you know, choosing to go to the gym or eating vegetables, saying, I'm going to take care of myself. So give yourself that permission.
You know, I'm so glad you talked about permission, because I think that's vital, and it's not about selfish. I talk about it as more it's about survival. Donna, Dr. Hamilton, how can people get a hold of you, your website, because we only have about 60 seconds left here, and I want to make sure that people can access you and get more information.
Great, thank you. Our website is manifestexcellence.com, and also we're on Facebook, facebook.com/manifestexcellence. And on Twitter, for people who like the tweets, we're on there too, Manifest Excel. So you can go there. You can find out about events. We have lots of wellness tips, lots of wellness articles. We have a free reports if you want some support in getting started taking care of yourself, that gives you some real practical steps of how to get started, questions to ask yourself, lots of good resources there.
Great. Thank you so much. And check out Dr. Donna Hamilton's website and all the wonderful resources. Thank you, Donna. What you've said to people is so very, very essential, those five areas of wellness. And thanks for being a guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Thanks. For me, too. Have a great day. Folks, we've been talking about wellness, and we've been talking about creativity and working with kids and also working with yourself. And next week, on September 21st, I have some very special guests here from Lifestyles Radio. Soul Joel is going to be bringing on some gentlemen with disabilities who don't focus on their disabilities but focus on their empowerment, and they are comedians. I don't think we're going to have a comedy show, but we're going to interview them, and that'll be great. And also following that is Christina Carter from Autism Speaks. And for many of you who listen in, you know that I'm hosting an event on October 25th in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, for Walk Now for Autism Speaks. Called Stepping Out, and it's going to be a great event. So Christina Carter is the executive director of the Greater Delaware Valley Chapter of Autism Speaks, and she's going to talk about that particular organization, and I'm going to talk about how you can help those people who are in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. We'd love you to come out. We're having so much going on that for that event on October 25th. We're having jazz. We're having comedians. We're having some media people coming, maybe even some sports personalities, and silent, and a Chinese auction, and great food, and great camaraderie, and Cherry Hill, New Jersey, at the coastline. So come on and join us here. And I want to stress today that take care of yourself, whether you're, as both of our guests said today, it's so important to make sure that you are taking care of you so that you can take care of those that you love. And it's important to check in with yourself each and every day and make sure that you are taking care of you, as Dr. Donna Hamilton said, in those five areas, and make sure that you're utilizing all those opportunities you have every day to take care of your children and help them communicate and be creative. Thanks again, and see you next week. Tune in to the Power Your Life Radio Show.
been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.